It's good to see each of you in the service this morning. We're glad that you're here, and we're glad that all of our kids are up front, and it's going to be a great morning with them, and then we're going to look into the Word of God together here in just a little bit. Be sure and remember, this afternoon, no choir practice here at the church. Small groups tonight at 6 o'clock in the Good News classroom, the Good News small group. We'll be having a Christmas fellowship, so we ask that you bring finger foods. And there will not be Zoom tonight for the Good News group. And so be sure to remember that. If you're part of that group, be sure and bring some finger foods, and we're going to have a good time as we celebrate Christmas together. Tomorrow night is Trail Life and American Heritage Girls. This is an awards ceremony, and so if you want to come and see what they are doing in Trail Life or American Heritage Girls, that meeting starts tomorrow night at 6:30 and will be in the Family Life Center. Wednesday night activities, we're going to do something just a little bit different, at least for the adults up here. We're going to be having Christmas carols and hot chocolate. Now, we'll have the Christmas carols up here, but the hot chocolate downstairs. So, anyway, be sure to remember Christmas carols and hot chocolate Wednesday night. Walking in the Family Life Center Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Prayer time here at the church Friday morning at 9 o'clock. And then next Sunday morning, we will be having morning worship only. Morning worship only at 10:30, regular time. But we will only be having morning worship, no Sunday school, no evening worship. So be sure and remember those announcements. Once again, thank you so much for your faithfulness in giving. The offering boxes are in the back of the church, and we do appreciate the way that you have been so faithful in giving to the church and enabling us to do a lot of things that we are doing, and we do want to tell you that we do appreciate it. Any other announcements? Tyler, come and lead us in a song.
Stand with me this morning as you're able, and let's sing together. First, let's pray, and then we'll sing together. How about that? God, we thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this time to be able to gather in your house and worship you, God, as we see some of our children's talents on showcase this morning. I pray that you would help us to encourage them as they're growing in their walk with you, God, that we would take something home from this for ourselves as well. God, we thank you so much for everything you're doing. I pray that you would be with us in these moments to come, and we'll give you praise and glory for everything you do. In your name we pray. Amen.
To the sun above, melt
pray. God, we thank you again for this day. As the kids come to share their program with us, God, I pray that you would help them to remember their parts and their places, and that they would be able to do what they're about to do to the best of their ability, and also to glorify you. God, again, I pray that you would help us adults to be able to take something away from this program, and that you would bless in the time that we have remaining this morning together. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.
Again, we welcome everyone. At this time, we're going to start with Miss Ellie Rutherford. She's going to sing a song.
Happy Mother's Day, Jesus.
With Asher.
Let your light shine. Open your heart.
Okay.
Everybody wants to
hear that it is with. Here it is, Christmas Eve, like a watchdog. That's my first name as a watchdog. Here it is, Christmas Eve. Watching the children asleep. I'll go see it, parents. Well, I'm guarding the stocking in the tree.
I like you. So his something like cutting the wood in the middle of the light. I love you.
Oh, I love you too. Okay.
Hi today.
Very good. Okay, go back up.
Pizza. Christmas is all about Jesus. Love. We honor our Lord.
Miracle is born on Christmas. Christmas is the birthday of our Lord.
This is our young We Church group. So they did good. We are going to start with Kinsley.
May your holidays be happy days filled with love and laughter. And may each day bring joy your way in the years that follow after.
Piper.
A little more sparkle, a little less stress. This Christmas I wish you the very best.
Colette.
In fuzzy pajamas, snug and warm, dreams of Christmas take true form. Teddy bears and twinkling light guide us through the silent night.
Jacob.
I'd like a stocking made for a giant, a meeting house full of toys. I'd go out on a happy hunt for all the poor little girls and boys. I'd go up and down the street, above and over the town. I'd find each one before the sun went down.
Eli.
I have been helping with the packages, licking out the pan, wrapping up our packages as quickly as I can. I've hung up our stockings beside the open grate, and now there's nothing more to do except wait and wait and wait.
River.
A little child, a shining star, a stable wood, the door ajar, yet in that place so cool, full on, the hope of all the world was born.
And Grace.
When you look for me at Christmas, you won't need a special star. I'm no longer just in Bethlehem, I'm right here where you are. You may not be aware of me amid the celebrations. You'll need to look beyond the stores and all the decorations. If you take a moment from your list of things to do to close your eyes and say a prayer, I'm waiting here for you. You're the one I want to be with. You're the reason that I came. You'll hear me in the stillness whispering your name.
That is our older group. And at this time, we have a song from Piper.
They follow.
The third candle of Advent is the candle of joy. It reminds us of the joy that Mary felt when the angel Gabriel told her that a special child would be born to her, a child who would save and deliver his people. Listen to the announcement that you find in Luke chapter 1. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." God wants us to have joy. The angels announced to the shepherd that Jesus had been born. He said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. Joy for all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, Christ the Lord." We light this candle this morning to remember that Christ, the gift of Christmas, brings the promise of new life, a life in which the blind receive sight, the lame walk, and prisoners are set free. We light it to remember that He is the gift of true and everlasting joy. We light the candle of joy. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity that we have to know You. Thank You for the unspeakable joy that we can feel in our hearts. It's not happiness like the world gives, but it's joy that You give. And we're grateful that we can celebrate this morning that You have come to give us real joy, wonderful joy. And we thank You for that today. We ask You, Lord, that You'd bless in the rest of this service. We thank You that we can know You in a real and in a personal way, and that You are indeed the gift of Christmas to us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
This time we're going to start our program called "'Twas the Night Before Christmas."
"'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse."
"Hold it a minute. That was your first mistake. I'm stirring like crazy to get these Christmas goodies done. There's no rest for this hard-working mouse."
"The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hope that St. Nicholas soon would be there."
"Oops, that's mistake number two. Those stockings are by the fireplace to dry out, because the kids in this house can't seem to stay out of the wet snow."
"The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads."
"Sugar plums, sugar plums. Those kids are dreaming about gifts. Gifts and stuff and things. They don't care if the stuff dances or not. They just want the loot."
"Oh no, Miss Mouse, Christmas is much, much more than that. Let me grab the first edition of The Night Before Christmas and see if that will help you understand. Now settle down and listen."
"'Twas the night before Christ's birth, and up in the sky, the angels were prepping to be heard on high."
"Tonight, see night, God is sending Jesus down to earth."
"I'm so excited. Who should we tell first?"
"Let me look at our assignment scroll. We are to go to the hills outside of Bethlehem to a group of shepherds."
Shepherds? Shouldn't we tell some important people?"
"It's God's plan for you to tell the shepherds first. The birth is just the beginning of the plan."
"Well, God knows best. Let's get the other angels and head out. Lead on, Gabriel."
"The people in Bethlehem..."
Thank you.
the people in Bethlehem, a small rural town, were just getting ready to lay themselves down.
I have so much to do. I've never seen so many people in town. This tax census from the Romans is really causing a lot of headaches. My place is so full I've had to turn people away. Just a little while ago, a young couple begged me to let them stay at my stable. I let them. The wife is expecting a baby any time now. I suppose it is better than sleeping on the street. Maybe I should check on that couple. No, they'll be all right.
Out on the hillside, while watching their sheep, a group of young shepherds were falling asleep, when suddenly out of the sky came a light. An angel appeared, making everything bright.
Peace to each man. You need not have fear, for the news we have brought you will find very dear.
A baby is born. This night is his birth.
He's come to save all the people on earth.
In Bethlehem town, you will find this dear child with Joseph and Mary, his mother, so mild. Sharing a manger with oxen and sheep, nestled in blankets, the babe sound asleep.
Good news, we bring you this wonderful night.
Jesus is born! Run to the side!
Did you hear what the angel said? Jesus is born. Let's quickly hurry and run to the site.
The Lord will take care of the sheep. Let's hurry.
So after the angels delivered the news, the shepherds went searching with no time to lose. And just as the angels had told them aloud, they found Jesus with Mary and Joseph so proud.
And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the dates were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought her firstborn and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and
they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men."
Wow, great story, guys. Jesus was born that first Christmas day?
That's right. Jesus was born on the first Christmas day, a gift from the Father. He planned it that way.
And every dear person who hears and believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. For all folks have sinned and have gone their own way, but God listens closely when we choose to pray and choose to love Jesus who came down to earth to live and to die, and to give us new birth.
Terrific. Christmas isn't all about gimme, 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 got to. It's about Jesus and joy and love straight from God.
Congratulations. You now know the reason for the season.
Stand with us as we sing Joy to the World.
Thank you.
This concludes our program, Twas the Night Before Christmas. Thank you.
This past Monday night, the church board gathered for our annual church board Christmas meal, and they very generously gave to the pastoral staff in that meeting. And I did not know they were going to do that. I suspected they would do that this morning, and so I have cards, some other cards that I want to give away to some people who do so much around here. First of all, I want to say thank you to Bobby and Linda. Where did Linda go? Linda's over there. Bobby? Bobby and Linda, yes. Bobby, we want to say thank you for the way that you and Linda take care of our church and our buildings. You guys do such a great job, and we appreciate it so much. You never come into the building and it stinks. Now, the reason I said it like that is because I had a friend that came not too long ago, and they walked into the building and they said, "Wow." And I thought, "What?" And they said, the building is so fresh. And that goes to all the work that Bobby and Linda do, and we appreciate it so much. There's also a gift here to someone who keeps the place going. Y'all know who that is. Mary, would you come up here? This has not been a typical year for Mary. She has had her ups and her downs, and it seems like more downs than up at times. But she is doing much better. The other day she was in the office, and she was kidding with me and Marcy. And I looked at Marcy and I said, "She feels better." Mary, we want to say thank you for all that you do in the office and all that you do for the kids. That is a very small token of what all you do, especially for these two. She puts up with us all the time. You guys only have us on Sundays. But anyway, thank you, Mary. I did keep my promise last Sunday morning, and I only went about 20 minutes. I know you could hardly believe it, but I promised to be short again this morning. How about that? I want us to look this morning at John chapter 3, verse 16. John chapter 3, verse 16. We have been doing our Advent series this year on the gift of Christmas out of the book of John. And I hope that the Lord has blessed you as we've looked into an unusual book, really, for Christmas. We've been talking about the gift of Christmas. Our first Sunday that we were together, we talked about the gift of Christmas, God before us in eternity and in creation and light and life. Last week, we talked about the gift of Christmas, of God being with us in the flesh, dwelling among us in grace and truth. And today, I want us to look at the gift of Christmas. And I want us to talk about the fact that God is in us. Listen to what John chapter 3, verse 16 says. You know it by heart. You may have done like I did and learned it from the King James Version many years ago. I'm reading from the New International Version this morning. But here's what it said. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. These are the words of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Of all the things that I've learned as I've gone through many, many years of Christmases, is that Christmas is a time of giving. It seems like something happens at Christmas. There are a lot of people who otherwise really wouldn't give you the time of day, much less anything else. They're suddenly overcome with this spirit of giving. I'm constantly amazed at the way that people give at Christmas. I don't think some even realize how extravagantly they have given until January. And you know what I mean by that, when the credit card bills begin to come in. But as you begin to think about it, there has not been any more extravagant gift given than the one that we have received. No extravagance really can equal the extravagance that God has shown us in Jesus. And it's really that gift that I want us to look at this morning. It's not just a gift out there in eternity somewhere. It's not just a gift that came to live among us. Although those two are true, and we've talked about those for the past 2 weeks. But God wants to be more than just someone who was out there. God wants to be someone more that just came and set up His tent on the street where we live. God really wants to dwell in us, and He wants to give us the gift of Christmas and come to live in us. And so I want us this morning to look at that gift, and you find this really here in John chapter 3, verse 16. The first thing that I want you to notice this morning is the gift of Christmas, God's gift in us, is really a gift of love. That's what He says there, or what John says there in those first few verses. For God so loved. God so loved. We read about it, but I don't think we understand it, how God would choose to love us. I've been your pastor. I've just started my fifth year with you as your pastor. And you guys have been so easy to love. Well, 90% of you anyway. Isn't it amazing? We look at people all around us and we wonder, how in the world could anybody love them? But the reality of it is God does love them. Just like He loved you and just like He loves me, He loves us in ways that we can't even begin to receive. If we understood His love, I think it would transform us in the way that we deal with all the people who are around us. I think it would transform us in the way that we live. I think it would do something for us, especially in the way that we talk to other people about their relationship with Jesus. Gloria Gaither said, God love offers us the eternal, but we choose the immediate. God love offers us real joy, but we want thrills. God's love offers us freedom, but we want license. God's love offers us communion with God, but we want independence. God's love offers peace, and we want approval for our actions. But in spite of our actions, God chose to and chooses to love us anyway. Wow. Aren't you glad? Of all the things that man didn't deserve, man did not deserve for God to love us. John in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, tries to find words to describe it when he says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. How great is the love that the Father has lavished. That's just pouring out on us. Not just a little bit, but just pouring out to the point of overflowing. How great is the love that the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. I mean, to try to describe the fact that God loved us, it boggles our minds. To try to put into words the love that God has given to us is really beyond our ability. W.E. McCumber, who used to be the editor of the Herald of Holiness. Some of you are old enough to remember that. And you know who you are. You know. He said that to try to describe the love of God, the words begin to break down because they were not designed to carry such a weight. Wow. It's so true. I mean, the older I get, I think the more I realize what love is. Or I'm coming to realize more and more what love is. I'm coming to realize that love is not just a feeling. It is for sure something that you just don't fall into. I don't even like those words because really it's kind of like you're walking along and fall into a sewer sometimes. I was talking to my daughter and we went down Friday. Our oldest granddaughter was in a ballet. I can now say I'm cultured because I have been to the theater here in Cumberland County, and I've now been to the ballet. I went to see the Nutcracker the other night, and Megan was talking to us about a guy at where she used to work that was walking along and did not realize that there was a manhole. And she said, we watched it on video. This guy is just walking along and all of a sudden he's gone. That's kind of like what falling in love is. And a whole lot of people who fall in love do end up in a sewer. Let's just be honest. A lot of times we're not paying attention to what we're doing when we think we are in love. But I'm telling you, after 43 years, I have come to know more about what love is than ever before in my life. After many years of walking with Jesus, I have come to know what love is and how God has lavished His love out on us. Even while we were still sinners, He loved us and died for us. You see, real gifts that you begin to talk about, they're not just something that you go out and buy. Real gifts are something that are given out of love. I love O. Henry and his short stories. But if you've never read The Ransom of Red Chief by O. Henry, you ought to read that sometime. It's great for a good laugh. But O. Henry wrote a short story entitled The Gift of the Magi. And in that short story, he tells of a couple that really loved each other. And Christmas was close. And neither of them had any money. And so O. Henry weaves this story to let us know that they really had nothing, but they were willing to give everything. She had beautiful hair, and he had a watch. And she decided that what she would do, she would sell her beautiful hair in order to buy him a chain for his watch. And he decided that he would sell his watch in order to buy her a beautiful comb for her hair. It's amazing what love will do for you and what love will do in us. And O. Henry's story is a very poor illustration. But it really shows us how that God, even in our poverty, when we could give Him nothing in return, loved us enough to give Jesus for us, to give Jesus to us, to allow Jesus to come to live in us. So you see, the gift of Christmas has been given so that God could come and live in us by His love. The second thing that I want you to see this morning is that the gift of Christmas is really a gift that is limitless, because He says here, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him. That whoever believes in Him. I mean, it's limitless in the fact that God would stop at nothing. Not even at His Son to give to you and to me. Nicodemus, the man that Jesus has been talking to all throughout chapter 3 here. He had to, as he was sitting there talking to Jesus, and Jesus begins to remind him of some things, he had to think, especially as Jesus quotes this verse, that of the sacrifice that Father Abraham had been willing to give through Isaac. I mean, we know the end of the story. We know all that went on in that, and Nicodemus knew all that went on in that, but Nicodemus was just really beginning to grasp, and Nicodemus was really just beginning to come to grips with what was going on as Jesus talked. And God moved through Abraham. God touched Abraham and gave Abraham a sacrifice. And even though man is not really worth it, as far as we might think, God saw more in us and wanted more for us. So it's limitless in the fact that God would stop at nothing. It's limitless in the fact that it's for anyone who is in this world. God somehow chooses to extend His love and the love of His Son to anyone. I mean, He has extended His love to the worst drunk in Crossville. He has extended His love to the murderer in prison. He has extended His love to the homeless man who bedded down under our storage building two nights ago. I mean, you begin to think about it. Anyone and everyone, it is a limitless gift. He has extended this to you and to me. It's limitless in the fact that He will change us regardless of what we've done. And I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want you to know all that I've done. Would you want me to know everything that you have done? And yet God, in a very limitless way, has given us His love and has offered us His forgiveness through this gift of Christmas. The gift of Christmas, finally, is a gift that gives us life. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life, eternal life. I mean, we learned it as children, probably most of us did from the King James Version, but have everlasting life. The NIV puts it in just a little bit different way, but the meaning is the same. God loved us in such a limitless way that Jesus came to die so that we might live. We tend to focus toward the end of that verse on two words. We tend to focus on the word perish. None of us want to perish. I mean, it's talking about being banished from God, and when you look at that, none of us want that. I think the greatest thing, or the greatest difficulty, the greatest, and the word just has left my mind, the greatest torture of hell will be separation from God. To me, that would be the greatest thing. Because we know and we experience God. Even the worst of sinners know and experience God and His love and His grace and His mercy. Jesus hung on the cross and cried out, my God, why have You forsaken Me? You really begin to think about it. That word perish is an awful word. But I'm glad that's not the only word that we have to focus on, because you have another word there, and that's eternal life. I mean, think about it. It is life that is forever. Now, I heard someone say the other day, and I don't guess I had really ever thought of it quite in this way, but I heard someone say in men's breakfast the other day that we are born eternal creatures. Wow. We always talk about eternity, but we are born eternal creatures. But Jesus not only wants us to have eternal life. Based on what you read here, Jesus wants us to have abundant life right now. Right now. He has come that we might enjoy eternal life someday, but He has also come that we might really know what living is all about right now. You see, I'm firmly convinced that even... Now listen to the whole sentence before you call the district superintendent, okay? Even if there were no eternal life, I did not say that there is not. I said, even if there were no eternal life, living for Jesus now is worth it. I mean, it really is. Because of the abundant life that we have and that we enjoy right now. And He came that whosoever will would believe in Him and should not perish but have eternal life. Let's make some application to this real quick. You see, when you begin to look at this, the gift of Christmas is God in us, the gift of love. God in us, a gift that is limitless, and God in us, a gift of life. Years ago, one of the choirs that was at a church that we pastored sang a song entitled "The Gift of a Lifetime." I want to read you part of that. It says, "Before I looked to you, you found me. Before I knew your name, you knew mine. Before I spoke the prayer, your precious gift was there, one I thought I'd never find." The gift of a lifetime, that's what you gave, your life an offering, my life to save. Turning my song of tears to an anthem of praise for the gift of a lifetime, a gift that you gave. Wow. So pretty. Have you experienced the gift of Christmas? Have you experienced the gift of Christmas, God in us? I mean, God in us loving, and God in us regardless of what we've done. God in us giving us real life. I'm so glad to tell you that if you've not experienced the gift of Christmas, that before you walk out the doors of this building this morning, you can know this gift in a real and in a personal way, and it will change your life. We're not just talking about life someday. We're talking about life today. Life right now. Life that is abundant and full and free. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time that we've had together this morning. Thank you for the truth of the story that we've heard this morning as the children talked about 'twas the night before Christmas. Thank you that you were willing to come to lowly shepherds, to dirt people, to people that maybe the rest of the world might have rejected, but you came to them and gave them the good news that Jesus, the gift of Christmas, had been born. And they could go and see. But not only did they go and see, they went afterward to tell. Thank you, Lord, for the truth that the gift that you have given is a gift that is in us. It is limitless in the fact that it'll forgive us of any and every sin that we've ever committed. And it's a gift of love. Love like we've never experienced before, but that will give us real life, abundant life here and now. And so, Lord, if there's one in this room this morning that's never experienced the gift of Christmas, may even now, as they're sitting there in their seats, may they realize that it's really just as simple as ABC. It's admitting that we've sinned. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's believing that Jesus came into this world and that Jesus died and that He has been resurrected and is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. It's then confessing Him before men. Confessing that we have accepted this gift of Christmas. That we want to live a life of love to those people who are around us. So, Lord, I pray this morning that if there's one here that doesn't know you as their Savior, that today, during this Christmas season, what better time to receive the gift of Christmas than during Christmas? May we receive it and may we live it out. We love you and we thank you for all that you do for us. May you bless us as we go from this place. And I pray, Father, that you would help us that we might indeed show the gift of Christmas to people who are all around us. We love you and we thank you for what you have done. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning as you sat there, if you prayed and you asked Jesus to come into your heart, I want you to see one of the pastoral staff. I want you to go to them and talk to them. I promise you we have some stuff that we would love to give you to help you get your Christian life started right. Maybe you need to start again. That's not a bad thing. And we'd like to give you some information that will help you get started again. God wants to help you in your Christian life, and He wants you to receive the gift of Christmas. Remember, this evening in the Good News group, we'll be having our Christmas event over there, our Christmas celebration over there, and so we will not be on Zoom, and Mary has given me a sign that I need to... Mary wanted me to remind you. See, I tell you, she runs everything. Mary wanted me to remind you that there is a gift that we want to give all of you as you leave the building this morning. And she wanted me to tell the children and those who participated in the program that she has a gift for them up here. And so if you participate in the program, y'all come to see Miss Mary here in just a second. We're so glad that you were here. If we don't see you next Sunday morning, we hope you have a very Merry Christmas. And we'll see you before the new year. At least I better see you before the new year. God bless you. You are dismissed.